get, which he realized he knew her somehow. But it was in a previous life and another time. Now, Ask It was from another universe. And it was called the Tao Universe. So our universe, what the Meyer Information calls the Dern Universe, and the Tao Universe are kind of twin universes. And there was what we would call a Big Bang, which started these two universes in their expansion. And Ask It's people are now living in this other universe. They started in our universe, but they eventually moved to this Tao Universe. And I think one of the differences between the two universes is that the planets with life are closer together in the Tao Universe. So it's very, very interesting. So Ask It and Billy went below the Great Pyramid. And they saw amazing things. They saw extraterrestrial craft, and they saw strangely dressed men who were extraterrestrial, and they saw artifacts that appeared to be from the crucifixion of Christ. And it's a tremendous story. And these old cubicle constructions are like 70,000 years old, and they exist below the Great Pyramid. And still, I believe to this day, some of it may have been destroyed, but they're finding more and more stuff down there all the time. And this brings me back to where I really wanted to talk about today. But if you just jump into it, then it sometimes makes little sense, because you don't have all the background information. So the past of the Earth is so complicated that few people will delve deeply into it, because there's the sheer volume of information, especially presented in Billy's context. So I've talked about Svoth and Ask It, two other contacts Billy had. One was Ptah and Semyase. And Ask It, so Ptah, Semyase, and Ask It explained to Billy, Edward Albert Meyer, that the Egyptian pyramids were built around 73,000 years ago. But they fell into decay after a while. So they were rebuilt. So around 9,500 something BC, there was another great deluge coming. Now, this whole story about Noah and the Ark was really occurred 100,000 years ago. Much, much more ancient. But this deluge was foreseen around 9,545 BC by this guy named Sarad, who was the son of King Saluk. And, you know, the people were living much longer, and there are various reasons for that. Maybe we can go over again sometimes. But so this would have been, this flood would have been about 11,000 years ago, 9,545 BC, something of that. So this King Saluk ordered the alteration and the dismantling of the Great Pyramid of Giza around 9,545 BC. And the reason he did is because he was preparing for this great flood. And the people were going to live, you know, either below the Great Pyramid and in the Great Pyramid, and they were preparing for this. So here they start rebuilding the pyramid. It was about 11,000 years ago, something like that. So King Saluk, he lived about 300 years before this 9,545 BC flood. And he had a son named Sarad, who had a tremendous ability to see into the future. So Sarid, in a dream, he saw a great comet which pulled along seven smaller comets behind it. And these smaller comets collided with the earth and created terrible roaring sounds, and darkness came upon the world. In Sarid, in his dream, he saw countless human beings die because they were killed by these seven impacting comets. And through various astrological work, these people were more advanced than we think, and they predicted a gigantic comet was going to come 300 years from their current date, their current time of living. So they could, these people were advanced, they could determine the time when these comets would come and that some of them would hit the earth. And they agreed that they would have to prepare for this time. So, they were very focused, and they had a lot of cooperation, which is much more than we do. And I wish our society would learn to cooperate. We can't believe or cooperate about anything. I mean, we would just argue, you know, it's terrible. So the main pyramid, over time, lost its internal structure and organization, and it had to be rebuilt. And this is around 9,545 BC. So the first time the pyramids were built was 73,000 years ago. And there were people that came here. There were Earth foreign builders from the constellation of Orion. And this was what's called two stellar ages ago, which is about 36,000 years. And these were the original builders of the Great Pyramid. 73,000 years ago, they were from Orion, and the constellation of Orion. And Orion is a prominent constellation. It's located on the celestial equator, invisible throughout the world. It is one of the most conspicuous and recognizable constellations in the night sky. So these people came from Orion. And you've probably heard of Orion's Belt. And Orion's Belt kind of are these bright stars. And one of them is called Betelgeuse. And it's part of, it's a massive M-type supergiant star, and it is the second brightest star in the Orion constellation. So, and it serves as the right shoulder of the hunter. I guess there's a hunter that's formed by Orion, but there's also a belt. The hunter has the belt, and I think Orion's belt, what does it say about Orion's belt? Despite being the faintest of the three stars in Orion's belt, Mintaka, I guess, it's a multiple star system combined of large B, blue giant, and more massive zero type. The Mintaka system constitutes an eclipsing binary variable star, where the eclipse of one star over the other creates a dip in brightness. Mintaka is the westernmost of the three stars of Orion's belt, as well as the northernmost. So anyway, these people from Orion originally built the pyramids around 73,000 years ago. And they were rebuilt. Some of the work was done telekinetically, actually, from these people from Orion, but they also had 200,000 slaves. So, and this was the original building around 73,000 years ago. And then they fell into disrepair as tens of thousands of years went past, and they had to rebuild them. So we're talking about around 9,545 BC, King Seleuc and his people are rebuilding them as well. So, and I never realized that until the Meyer material. But the pyramids have been built upon and rebuilt. So it gets, again, I told you it was complicated. Everything that happens in our history is very complicated. So the original, the pyramid buildings, as well as the subterranean rooms, which we talked about, were connected with them and were built under the directions of human beings who are of extraterrestrial origin and who at that time came from the regions of the constellation Orion, which is why the Egyptian pyramids were also formation-wise constructed as an image of this constellation. So, and so we're talking about these people, they covered the Great Pyramid with this lye, which made it completely watertight, and then they went inside, and of course they had stocked up for many, many years all this food, and the comet came through, and it caused a gigantic flood, and it just about, I mean, killed many, you know, many, many people. It could have wiped out an entire humankind if we had, there hadn't been a few people that prepared. So these people survived because of King Sarid, or King Seleuc and his son Sarid. So anyway, that was pretty much what I wanted to cover in the first hour today. But I want to talk a little about these Lyrians. The Plearian, who Sphoth was a Plearian. Semyase is a Plearian. Ta was a Plearian. These are, now, Asket is from the Tao universe, so she's a little different. But the Plearians say, and I guess I didn't talk about their planet Era, which they terraformed, which is, I didn't even talk about the different space-time configurations. Our universe has seven different space-time configurations. And you can think of those as dimensions. So somehow these extraterrestrials, they travel faster than light, despite the fact that we say, oh, this is a law of the universe. You can. There's a lot of, some of our formulas even have errors in them. So, you know, you just have to kind of set that aside. And but yes, they travel faster than light. They also move between dimensions somehow. And when they travel from one place to the another almost instantly. And Billy was in their mothership right around, gosh, when was that? I'd have to double check my notes to remember that, but he used to, we'll be back in about 5 minutes. Thanks, folks.
Thank you. travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and Earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Clear skies, everyone. It's Francis, your host of Collision Course, right here on FreedomSlips.com, every Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on the Studio B channel. Each week, we'll tell you what's going on in our solar neighborhood. Not just that, though, we're on a mission to uncover and discover the truth about our place in the universe. Come listen for the interviews. Come listen to me. Either way, you'll know more so you can decide what's real and what is not in the space outside our atmosphere. Collision Course airs every Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on the Studio B channel at freedomslips.com.
Hi everybody, it's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media, political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back, folks.
Welcome back, folks.
It is 5:01 p.m. The
13th
of February.
Of February.
2021. And we've got our famous echo. There we go. Much better. Thanks, folks. So I want to do, in the second part of the show here, talk a little bit more about some of the spiritual teaching that's described in the Machter Gedanken, the Might of Thoughts book. And one of the things that's talked about is the vicious cycle, which is a thing that occurs when our thoughts run wild and are out of control. So part of the the goal here is to learn to control our thoughts, because thoughts really determine our reality. And one of the things that happens is that we go into what's called the vicious cycle, which is a cycle of uncontrolled thoughts and feelings that are very, very difficult to stop. Sometimes this happens to people when they're grieving. If they've lost someone very close to them, a person or a pet, then they have the feelings of pain and the suffering. It takes many, many days. Or you can be angry about something, and people will hold on to anger for weeks and months. And it's very bad for you. It's very, very unhealthy. In fact, anger can destroy the liver and cause cancer. So let's talk a little bit more about how to snap out of these bad states. Page 68. If this state is maintained further, then as a result of continually negative thoughts, the feelings become correspondingly also increasingly negative and transmit themselves in this form to the psyche, which thereby becomes increasingly negative, increasingly unequalized, and finally disturbed and sick. Remember, we have the material consciousness, which is controlled by the psyche. The psyche kind of looks after the material consciousness. It administers the material consciousness. We have a spiritual consciousness, which is controlled by the Gemut. And the Gemut is the section of our spiritual consciousness that is in charge. Let me read a little bit of this. And this is straight from the book, The Psyche. It's a very technical book. A lot of the Meyer writing is very, very technical. And this is The Psyche. The psyche is referred to as that half-material block and factor which within the material body of a life form, in this case the human being, regulates and looks after the material consciousness-based feelings and the material consciousness-based thoughts. So we have thoughts and feelings that are associated with our material consciousness. Now that's your personality as it is, that's who you are in this lifetime. We also have thoughts and feelings associated with our spiritual consciousness. And the Gemut is what controls that area. The Gemut is referred to as the spiritual block and factor, which in the spirit body of a life form, in this case the human being, regulates and looks after the spirit consciousness-based feelings and the spirit consciousness-based thoughts in a constant equalized form. So the spiritual consciousness is always equalized. So you'll never, your spiritual consciousness is never bummed out. It's never depressed. It's never thrilled and wild and giddy and too positive. It's always this equalized and balanced state. Contrary to the psyche, the Gemut of the spiritual realm cannot be influenced by negative powers, negative thoughts, but only by neutral positive ones. The universe is neutral positive. The creation, the universal consciousness, is neutral positive. One of our goals is to keep the material consciousness in the neutral positive state, which the Gemut is always in. Contrary to the psyche, the Gemut of the spirit realm cannot be influenced by negative powers, negative thoughts, but only neutral positive ones, which therefore means that only powers corresponding to a equalized form of positive and negative penetrate into the Gemut, through which the Gemut always exhibits an equalized harmony, from which the half-material psyche again profits to a certain extent. Because the Gemut supplies it with these harmonious swinging waves in the necessary amounts in which case, a part of these swinging waves originate from the realm of cosmic electromagnetic life energy. You know, when I first started reading this book, you're supposed to start out with the psyche. And I was in Arizona, and I had went to the Munns Park group meeting, and I had bought, I think, all three of these books. I think I bought from Michael Horn, and I'm sitting in the airport, Flagstaff Airport, and it's early in the morning, and I start to read the book, The Psyche, and I read 10 pages, and I realized, I don't think I understood 1% of what I just read. So I read this same 10 pages or 12 pages again. And I thought, well, maybe I got 2% that time. And then I proceeded in reading the first